إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، الاعتدال في الدعوة. My dear brothers and sisters, today we will, since we have been talking about the art of gaining people for the purpose of calling them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is fitting for us to know how we should call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have the knowledge, we have the audience. Now, how you want to present your da'wah to the people? Every person in this life has hopes and goals that he or she will be willing to stay up all night, work hard during the day, sacrifice sleep, sacrifice health, sacrifice many things for the purpose of fulfilling their dreams or their hopes. One of those people who had a hope is Abdullah ibn Abi Jamrah. If he had something in mind, he usually goes after it, and he will call to it, he will travel to it, and he will sit in every gathering in order for him to fulfill it, if this is deemed to be the way to fulfill it. After he had traveled all over, fulfilling dreams and goals that he has, and after he had good knowledge and good experience with people and understanding people and listening to people, see how people interact, see people how they talk, see how they react, see how they question and so forth, he came up with this reality that he expressed it in the following. He said, وَدِدْتُ أَنَّهُ لَوْ كَانَ مِنَ الْفُقَهَاءِ مَنْ لَيْسَ لَهُ شُغُلًا إِلَّا أَنَّهُ يُعَلِّمُ النَّاسَ مَقَاصِدَهُمْ فِي أَعْمَالِهِمْ وَيَقْعُدُ لِلتَّدْرِيسِ فِي أَعْمَالِ النِّيَّاتِ لَيْسَ إِلَّا. He said, I wished that there would be a very knowledgeable person who does nothing but teaches people about their objectives in the work that they are doing, and sits and does nothing but teach people about intention. Nothing. It's no talking about manners, no etiquettes, no obligations, no haram, no halal. We need one sheikh, one scholar, who is deeply endowed with knowledge, sits, does nothing but teach people. All of his lectures are focused on intention. Because from the experience that he had, from the things that he saw, indeed, it needed that. Yaqul, because many people are attacked from this side, from the side of the intention. We know that in order for any deed to be accepted, it has to be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it has to be according to the sunnah. Most of the people are attacked from the sincerity side. Most of the people attacked. What do I mean by attacked? In order for your deed to be accepted, you get rewards for it, it has to be sincere. So, your lack of sincerity makes you lose the job. And that is the problem that most of the people has as he sees it. Yaqul, and it really deserves that, because very few people who remind people about their intentions. You hear lectures, and you have conferences, and you have many things, but very seldom or very few you find someone emphasizing intentions and how to have the intention and how to make it sincere for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what are the things that takes you away from that intention, and if you're not sincere, what happened, and if you're sincere, what happened. Set up examples, give a hadith, give ayat, give examples from the sahaba and such. Many people don't do that, and if they do that, they don't do it too often. They treat it as it is one of the lectures, just like any other lectures. You give a khutbah about sincerity and you forget about that maybe for a year or two, then you come back and give another khutbah. It's not like that. This is like the pillars of Islam. You're teaching it for children in the school. It's not a subject that you come one day and you say, today I'm going to teach you about the pillars of Islam and the pillars of faith, pillars of Iman, and then you memorize them and it's over. It has to be repeated over and over and over with every class and every subject. Always you bring it and you talk about it directly or indirectly, so it will settle in the mind of the people. But to treat it as a class, all the students will get 100 in it, and then come next week and ask them what the pillars of Islam. Up until now, I'm testing adults and they fail. Adults, they mix between pillars of Iman and pillars of Islam. Subhanallah. So when you talk about sincerity, it's easy said, but the hardest one to fulfill. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات. Actions are by intentions. Actions according to the Sunnah, by intention, sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This small hadith, very eloquent, very rich with meaning, and it is the most beneficial hadith that you can have if you fulfill that. Many of the scholars, they looked at that, at it is more than two-thirds of the religion. Because if you apply that, this is something that is very beneficial, and that would definitely make your work nice. Look, for example, based on the intention, the sincere intention, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man سأل الله الشهادة بصدق بلغه الله منازل الشهداء وإن مات على فراشه." Anyone who asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the martyrdom with truth, truthfully, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him that reward even if he dies on his bed. Can you give an example? Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu. Look at the battles that he had entered. Look at the success that had he, the victories that he has accomplished. Yet he died on his bed. And he said, there is not an inch in my body but it has a hit from a sword or from a bow or any of those things that they fight with. He was inflicted with everything, and he said, and here I am, I die on my bed like the camel dies on the ground. Basically, he means he did not die the way that he wished he would. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written for us how we're going to die. It doesn't matter what you do, you're not going to change that. So with your sincerity, if you say something with sincerity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to you. And if he does not give it to you, then he will give you what? The reward for it, as if you have done it. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَا مِنْ إِمْرِئٍ تَكُونُ لَهُ صَلَاةٌ بِلَيْلٍ فَغَلَبَهُ عَلَيْهَا نَوْمٌ إِلَّا كُتِبَ لَهُ أَجْرُ صَلَاتِهِ وَكَانَ نَوْمُهُ صَدَقَ عَلَيْهِ. If you're used to wake up at night and pray tahajjud, and one day you fell asleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to write for you that you made tahajjud, and the time that you had slept is charity. You had given that time charity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply because you have the intention for that. وَيَقُولُ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ إِذَا أَنْفَقَ الرَّجُلُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ يَحْتَسِبُهَا فَهُوَ لَهُ صَدَقًا. If you spend on your wife, on your children, with sincerity that you're giving that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be a charity for you. Now, naturally, many of us, they give the money, they spend the money on their wife, on their children, and in most cases we complain, but it doesn't cross our mind that we should think about it and change our intention and make that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you get the reward as charity. If you come and you donate $100 to that masjid, naturally you would not complain about that. You would not say, oh, the sheikh today who made the fundraising, that is horrible, we had to pay $100 for him for charity. You would not do that. But when your wife asks you for $100 for some reason, to buy herself something or to get shopping for you, you would complain. She asks for money all the time. That's all she wants. She spends. She's extravagant. This and that. While this is counting like you're giving donation for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are you lacking? Sincerity. You busied yourself with arguing and complaining rather than busying yourself. You're making it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're giving it anyway. How many of you, his wife asked for something and he doesn't give it to her, one way or another? Yes, you might not give it to her today or tonight or tomorrow. No woman, I can swear on, no woman wants something, but she can get it if she insists on it. Peacefully too, without threats. All she has to do is keep asking for it. And then you get tired of it. Why do we give our children things that we actually don't believe in? We don't want them to have it. We don't like it. We know it's bad for them, but yet we fall and we give it to them. You just get tired of them asking for you. I need that. You can't concentrate, you cannot sit, you cannot eat, but they keep, you just hear. Imagine when you do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have the sincerity, you would give it with a smile. Of course, if it's not haram. So the best one who deserves your charity is who? Your wife. We said before, carrying mountains, drying the seas, are easier than raising real men for da'wah. This is a reality that I want you to keep it in your mind all the time. We also know that ourself is inclined to do the easy things that requires no hard work, requires no challenges. Easy does it. And that is why we have the side of the evil deeds more than the side of the good deeds. Why? Because evil deeds doesn't require much. Just be yourself, go with your mind, go with your desires, go with your thoughts, you will get it without any problems. But good deeds requires sacrifice. يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Who is there better than the person who proclaims da'wah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who? Give me one. No one. When you talk about da'wah, the messengers radiyallahu alayhim salatu wassalam, their da'wah revolves around three things. Number one, teaching people about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His names and His attributes, what they entail, and how to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with those names and attributes, and to really know Him, to know His powerful side and to know His compassionate side all the way. They focus on knowing the teachings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us, or send the messengers with, wants us to reach with by obeying Him to His Jannah, and teaching us that there are rewards for obedient people and there are sins for disobedient people. When you talk about da'wah, calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is one of the pillars of righteous deeds that you can never be a winner unless you fulfill it. It's one surah that has four pillars. Surah Al-Asr. Wal-Asr, innal insana lafi khusr illa. By the time, indeed, men at loss, except amanu, believed, amilu salihat, did righteous deed, tawasaw bilhaq, enjoined good and forbid evil. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And we're enjoining patience upon one another. Because if you call, then you need patience. This is one of them. Which one is the da'wah? Where is the da'wah in this ayah? آمنوا عملوا الصالحات تواصوا بالحق تواصوا بالصبر. Which one is the da'wah? No. The one that specifically. تواصوا بالحق. This is a pillar. You're a believer. You're doing righteous deed. You want to make da'wah. And then you want to be patient on that da'wah. We'll get you some of that patience when you talk about da'wah. كان الرسل عليه الصلاة والسلام يؤذون بالقول والفعل وربما بلغ الأمر إلى قتلهم. Companions, and before the companions, the prophets, peace be upon them, they used to get punished and harassed and persecuted physically, verbally, and it could reach to the point that they get killed because of the da'wah. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَصَبَرُوا عَلَى مَا كُذِّبُوا وَأُوذُوا. You're not the first one, O Prophet Muhammad. Many messengers before you had been disbelieved, had been called liars, and they were harmed, but they persevered. They persevered. وَكُذِّبُوا فَصَبَرُوا فَصَبَرُوا. Then he subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that at the end of that ayah, فَلَا تَكُونَنَّا مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَمَعَهُمْ عَلَى الْهُدَى. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make everybody a believer, he would. So he commanded Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you were about to dig deep in the ground or climb, take a ladder and climb to the sky and come up with something to prove to them that your message is true so they can believe in you, you would do that. That's how keen that they accept your message. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, don't do that. Don't get that far. Do the job moderately. Do the job moderately. Because if I want to unite them on this, I would do that easily. But you want everyone to come and accept it the way it is. The maximum level of patience. If someone comes and insulted you for some reason or another personal thing, you will go crazy, you blow up and you hit him and you defend yourself and you sue him, you do something, personal thing. But when you're making da'wah, imagine, you're making da'wah and you're not getting paid for it, it's free. وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرِ إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ. All the prophets said, we're not asking you for any money, our reward is from Allah. So you're making da'wah free and you're getting harmed and you're getting persecution and you might lose your life and you're not getting angry. Wow. Yani, a person would sit with himself and goes, I'm not getting nothing for it. This is what Paul said, by the way. Ever heard of Paul? Paul, you know him? Paul said, he said, we're getting harmed, we're getting harassed, we're getting tired. What are we getting from this? Prophets won't do that. Less than prophets, real people who call for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala don't do that. Because this is the highest level of patience required, is to know that you are chosen by Allah. You are doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is based on your love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that where you can resemble the reality of your faith is when you persevere it, even though you're not getting anything from people, you're not getting anything for it, but the blind person, when he is blinded, he forgets the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Naturally, we are doing it for to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's what the messengers do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose those messengers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allahu a'lam haythu yaj'alu risalata. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows whom he should choose to be the one to deliver the message. He doesn't choose anyone. He choose the right person for the right job. A person with knowledge, a person with character, a person who is known in his community, where he is not a stranger coming from nowhere, popping just like that. Oh, people follow me. Oh, people worship me, or worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or worship something else. Who are you? We don't know. Where you came from? We don't know. Tell us something about you? We don't know. Your history? Nothing is known. Who are you? God selected me. How can someone follow someone like that? How can someone in the right mind follow that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses the messengers because He knows them. And He chooses them where people know them. He doesn't send a messenger from one tribe and make him for everyone without something so strong and so solid to make them believe in that. Every messenger he was sent, it's from the same people that he was sent to. Even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sent to the people of Quraysh initially, and then for everyone out. But you have all-time miracle, which is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Quran Al-Kareem. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He tells us the stories of the prophets when they make da'wah, it's not for us to just listen to it as a story. It is for us to take heed and to fulfill the patience, or rather follow their footsteps in the patience. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time tripped and he stubbed his toe. Look what he said. هَلْ أَنْتَ إِلَّا أُصْبَعٌ دَمِيتْ وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَا لَقِيتْ. He said, what are you? Nothing but a toe that you bled, and everything that happened to you is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look how simple that is. If you get a headache, if you fall, if something harms you, if you get any pain, this is what you say. What are you except a big head? The pain that you have is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you present that and you make that sincere for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have stepped up, no doubt, in that level of da'wah. Also, when you look at that, when I make da'wah or you make da'wah, many conditions have to be present there. I might not be fulfilling that. Many knowledge or much knowledge that you need to have, I might not be qualified 100% for that. Many things that I say, I might not be saying the right thing all the time. But when I get those punishments here and there, I know that I'm not perfect. And I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is purifying me from that imperfection in my da'wah. So I don't look at it as something negative, I look at it as something positive, something that elevates me in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, our topic today is focused on moderation, i'tidal fi da'wah. So we need to make the da'wah, and each da'wah or each thing has extremes. One extreme that is too much, and the other extreme is too little. Let's look at some of our practical problems that we face, and we, as da'iyah, we fail to fulfill it in the proper way. For instance, we find some people who call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants every person to fulfill everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks for. Everything, including preferred things, including mubahat, permissible things. And you find him that he's not willing to forgive any person for that. Yani, for instance, if someone enters the masjid with the left foot, is this a wajib to enter with the right foot? Is this an obligation?
No.
Is it good to enter with the right foot? Great. But if someone enters with the left foot, am I going to go and scream at that brother, come back, brother, what are you, where were you raised? Don't you know that this is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How could you not know that you're supposed to enter with your right foot? Well, this is something, not an obligation. You make the da'wah in the most pleasant way. You don't force people to do things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not command them to do it. This is something that you elevate yourself high in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you do. But if you don't do that, it's not going to be my job to make you hate the religion simply because everything to me is becoming a wajib, a must, where it is not. This is one negative aspect of the people who make da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person sees a person, like, you know, when you get up from ruku', from sujood, before you go for qiyam, there is a jalsa. It's called jalsat al-istiraha. You sit for a short while, and then you get up. Now this jalsa, some of the scholars said it is mustahabba. Some of the scholars said it's not mustahabba. Some of the scholars said it is mustahabba, yani preferred, for people who are old, for people who are sick, so they can gather themselves up and go. Now you come and you see someone did not do that. You come to him, you're not fulfilling the sunnah. Okay, you're not fulfilling the sunnah. But are you supposed to fight people for that? Even for the wajib, are you supposed to fight people? No. But you come and you talk to the person in a nice way. You don't make everything in this religion a wajib. And you don't force your opinion on somebody else's when there is a proof. When the person is relying on a proof, you cannot force your opinion. Rather, you discuss it with the other person to try to show which opinion is the strongest. This is a defect that we see in people that usually try to make everything a wajib. And I'll give you another example. Some people, when they see someone barely moving or making certain little moves in the salah, they will tell him, brother, your prayer is invalid. Why? Because so-and-so madhab said if you make three moves, your salah is gone. Where did you get that? What proof do you have for that? Okay, I got it from, okay, you got it from Sheikh so-and-so. Okay, we don't worship the Sheikh, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever the Shaykh is, show us the proofs to see the validity of what you are saying. How can I take a proof for three moves or two moves and I leave the proof of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he used to have the daughter of his daughter Zainab. What do you call that? His what? His grandchildren. His grandchild, when he used to carry her, when he makes ruku and sujood, he puts her down on the ground, then he picks her up. Aren't those movements? Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, one time was praying. He was holding the rein of his horse. Now the horse started pulling. You have two choices. You either go along a little bit or start fighting with the horse. The best choice is to let it go. That's according to the da'iyah who is extremist. Brother, you are in a prayer. You're not here to hold a horse or to hold a camel. Let him go. So they waited for him. They waited for him until he finished his prayer. He was literally... The horse was pulling him little by little, and he was walking with him. I mean, not, you know, walking the way you think of it, while he was praying. Then one of them said, after he made salam, they said, look at that man, what is he doing? Talking about whom? Abu Hanifa. Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, said, he looked at them and he said, it is getting night. If I let go of that horse, I will never be able to find him. So it is a better choice for me to gradually, little by little, move and finish the prayer And I have an example from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he told you that you can go open the door while you were praying. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you can, as long as you do your best not to deviate away from the Qibla. If you see someone, a child or someone, going to fall into a pit or to get into close to the fireplace, you can go and take him out. These are movements that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to have to make this religion simple and easy. And then comes one person, doesn't want you to do anything because he sees everything. This is the way it is, and everything is a must. What the religion gave us to make our life easy, he comes and cancels that and make it a wajib to ruin our life and make it hard. Also, one group of people gathered to see the prayer of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They asked Aisha radiallahu anha, and she told them how he prays. So they said, oh, well, this is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who am I? This is a messenger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave all of his sins. I'm not like that. So if he prays 2 hours at night, I'm going to pray all night. If he fasts every day, every other day, I'm going to fast every day. If he marries women, I'm not going to marry. If you're allowed to marry more than one, I'm not going to marry even one. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard that, did he like it? He said no. Why? Because this is too extreme. One time Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam found his wife Zainab holding on to a robe, and he asked, what is she doing that? And his other wife said, because she was doing qiyam and she's tired. When she gets tired, she holds on to that. Then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خُذُوا مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ مَا تَطِيقُونَ. Do fulfill the acts that you like, that you can bear. If you feel sleepy, sleep, because you don't want to be cussing yourself in the dua or asking Allah hellfire when you're supposed to be asking Him the Jannah. And because إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَمَلْ حَتَّى تَمَلُّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, see the exact translation of that is, Allah will not get bored until you get bored of your worship. Well, it doesn't mean that. It means that every time you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He rewards you for it. Go ahead, worship all night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you for it. Fast all day, He rewards you for it. Spend all of your life. Everything for the sake. Allah is not going to get tired of rewarding you. What happens? You will get tired and you will bore the religion and you will be making life hard for you, and you're not following the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to those three, I fast and I break and I eat, I pray and I sleep and I marry women. If you're not like that, or if you don't want to follow me or to be an example for you, then you are not one of us. Imam Malik rahimahullah, one time, one person asked the Prophet, he said, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he made Hajj, where did he made the intention, the miqat? And he pointed to him and told him about the name. So he said, I'm going to make it a little bit farther. Yani, let's say here Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam started his ihram. He wants to start 50 meters away from that. Yani, longer time in obedience, because once you enter that act of ihram, you are in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during that time. So Imam Malik rahimahullah said, أَخْشَى أَن تَكُونَ فِتْنَةً. I fear that it will be a bad thing to do. He said, what bad thing, ya Imam? I just want to get more hasanat. He said, what is more evil than you thinking you made a prayer or a worship, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam fell short in doing that. You made more reward than him. He is your example. Doing it from where he did it is more rewarding than doing it from where you wanted to do it. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِن تُطِيعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا وَإِن تُطِيعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا. If you obey him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you'll be guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaqul, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. This is my path. This is the path that leads you to Jannah. Very straight, no extremities in it, and don't fall short in it. If you follow it straight, the way it is, the way it was revealed, the way it was practiced by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it will lead you to Jannah without a doubt. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ya ayyuhan nas, ya ayyuhan nas, iyyakum wal ghulu fi ad-din. Iyyakum wal ghulu fi ad-din. I command you not to exaggerate worship," meaning go beyond the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, when we talk about too extreme, or when we talk about moderation, is it based on our whims and desires? Is it based upon our mental perception? No, it's based upon what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us and dictated to us. We need, as a da'iyah, to follow the path of facilitation, making life easy for the people that you are giving da'wah. Making life easy. This is a dangerous one. Not the way they like it, not the way I like it, but the way the deen is. It is easy, and making life easy if you do it the way it is, without exaggeration and without falling short. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger yaqul, "Inna ad-deena yusr." Deen is easy, simple, not hard on any average human being. So this is the way deen is, keep it that way. Also, when he sent Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhum ila al-Yaman, قال يسر ولا تعسر بشر ولا تنفر. He sent them to Yemen for what? For da'wah. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, is he an average person? Do you know what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Mu'adh? He said he will be leading all the scholars the day of judgment a distance of the throw of a stone. Yani, you take a stone and you throw it, that's how far he would be ahead of the people because of his knowledge, ahead of the scholars. Died at the age of what? 28. 28. Accepted Islam when? Age of 18 or 19. Within 10 years, he's leading all the scholars. He sent him and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. And who knows, and what do you know about Abu Musa al-Ash'ari? He sent him to Yemen for what? For da'wah. So when you want to make da'wah, you definitely have to be very knowledgeable so you can present it right, teach it right, deal with the people right, attract the people right, and make life easy for the people. Because if you want to make it, this is haram, it's just like, picture yourself, someone just accept Islam, welcome him to Islam, okay brother, okay sister, no more smoking, no more drinking alcohol, no more music, no more dating, no more eating pork, no more shaving your beard, no more and no more and no more, and guess what that person is going, I'm stuck, I'm doomed. It looks like that I don't know what I got myself into. And unfortunately, a lot of people do that. A lot of people do that. They bombard the person with, this is haram, 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 and this person just entered Islam. Where is yassira wala tu'assira? Where is making things, instead of welcoming him and giving him the glad tiding, you have done a wonderful job, Allah forgave your sins, if you die now you go to heaven, welcome to Islam, life is easy, everything you do is good, if you stay away from bad things, they're really bad for you, you will be happy that you did, if you do the right thing, they're not really hard if you think about it. 5 daily prayers, 5 minutes for each, 25 minutes for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ta'ala, and you have 48 parts of the day for yourself, 1 month out of the year for the sake of Allah to fast, and you have 11 months, one time to make hajj, and you could live 60 or 70 or 100 years, you don't have to make hajj. Charity, $2.50 for every 100, that is if you have over $1,000 saved for a whole year. And I go, wow, Islam is wonderful, Islam is good. When you start teaching them the main things, the obligations, slowly they would start learning about Islam, and the faith, when the faith builds in the heart, then they will start to accept the command. Now they have zero faith. If you say haram, what does haram mean? It doesn't translate anything in the heart. You need to fill that heart with good things. So when you say haram, it means something. It means Allah hates it. Wow, I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not willing to do that. So it'll become very easy for you to teach that. So when you want to make da'wah, definitely you have to keep all of that in your mind. A Jewish person came one time to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Assalamu alayk." Assalamu alayk. Sam means death. Not salam, sam. But yani, it sounds, it could pass on someone. You say, "Assalamu alayk." It is actually, "Assalamu alayk." He said that Aisha radiallahu anha heard it. She got angry. She said, "Alayk assalam wal la'na." She said, "Upon you is death and the curse." Well, he said to whom? He said to her or to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is Aisha radiallahu anha a good da'iya or not? She is. But she's learning. This is the beginning of da'wah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the teacher. He showed her what she should have done. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he answered him, he said, "Wa alaik." She told him, "Oh Prophet of Allah, don't you hear what he said?" And he said, "And don't you hear what I said?" This is the way you deal with people. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Inna Allah rafiq yuhibbu rifqa wa inna Allah la yu'ti bil rifq ma lam yu'ti ala al-hunf." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very friendly, and he likes people who are friendly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards so much for being kind and friendly, a lot more than what he does when a person is harsh and not friendly. So if you take that hadith and you understand that when you are kind and you are friendly with people, you have great rewards, definitely you will be a good da'iya and you would fulfill that. You find some kids, not kids, let's say men. Mathalan, I am a person, I started coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I am coming back strong, meaning that I'm swallowing everything and I want to apply the religion all at one time. Cannot stand anyone breaking the rule. So now what happened? Well, you sit at Isha Ders and faith is building and everything, and your knowledge is still shaky, but you are too excited. You go home and you start attacking your mom and your dad and your sister and your brother and your uncle and everyone. Attacking them with what? "This is haram, this is haram, don't do this, the companions don't do that." And you just attack them from every angle. How are they going to like you? This is what we always say for people who accept Islam, Christians. How do you make da'wah to your people? Show them what Islam did to you. Show them what Islam did to you. The same thing with that person. Your parents are not used to seeing you doing all of this. They're not religious. Now you're becoming religious. Show them that this really made you more compassionate, more loving, more caring. The way you command them is not the way that you feel like, "I am it. I am the one who's going to heaven, and every one of you is going to hell, provided that they don't listen to me. Once they listen to me, everybody's going to heaven." This is another extreme that many people from us doing, attacking their family. Now remember, brothers and sisters, at-tafarruq, disunity, is the worst thing that could happen to to a community. It is pain and it is sad because people, when they are disunited, they will lose, their power will dissipate, it will be gone, and they will definitely be loser, and they have no weight in the eyes of other people. The meaning of the ayah, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. Do not dispute, do not fight, do not argue, because you will lose and your weight and your power will be gone. Meaning, you will be meaningless in the eyes of other people. Meaningless in the eyes of your enemy. Why? Because they can see how weak you are. If he is with me walking outside and someone is going to attack me and he sees how close we are and how united we are, he will think twice before he does something. But when he sees me arguing with him over here and then said, okay, fine, don't talk to me, and you walk outside, it's a piece of cake to fight me or to fight him, because the last thing he would expect is from me to come back and give victory to him, because we already not connected with the hearts. And that is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us guidance in how to deal with people who are innovators. And the innovation can be, one of it can be kufr, and one of it can be a disobedience. If you're dealing with, you're giving da'wah to a person who's committing an innovation, that is kufr. What do you do? You teach him first about Islam, about what is right, before you attack him about his innovation. If you find that person arrogant and you find that person not accepting, then you show him and prove to him how wrong his belief is. But most of us, before they give the good side of the da'wah, they attack the evil part of that person. This is not the path of da'wah. The path of da'wah is show him what good you have before telling him how bad of things, yani what bad things that you're doing, or how bad your faith is. Show him what good you have, and then you can prove to him afterwards if he's not convinced. If the person has an innovation that is not kufr, then naturally you show it to him, the right thing, you show him the right path, and what do you do after that? If he doesn't agree, you cut relationship with him, provided that you think, and your suspicion is, it's going to benefit him and he's going to be better because he cannot handle cutting the relationship with me. This is one. If not, or if it's going to get worse by doing that, then what is the rule? Don't cut relationship with him. Why? Because what's the purpose of cutting relationship with a person? Because it is a form of treatment. You're sick, I tell you don't eat so and so to feel healthy. And you have a bid'ah, and I want to give you a treatment. The treatment that I see would work for you is for me not to talk to you. Or for you and some other person not to talk to you unless you leave that bid'ah. If I see that this is the treatment, I do it. If I don't see that, then it's better not to do it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us, لَا يَحِلُّ لَرَجْلٍ مُؤْمِنٍ أَنْ يَهْجُرَ أَخَاهُ فَوْقَ ثَلَاثٍ. It's not halal for any believer to leave his brother and not talk with his brother more than 3 days. This is haram, so therefore it has to have a reason for that. If that doesn't work, then you should not do it. So brothers and sisters, when you talk about moderation, you talk about giving the da'wah as is, in the Quran and the Sunnah, according to the understanding of the companion and the practicality of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companion. This is the right da'wah, and it is the right information. Differentiate between wajib and permissible and mustahab. Don't treat someone who is leaving a wajib like a person who is leaving a mustahab. Big difference between the two. When you want to see someone command someone for wajib, it's different. Yes, you tell that person, you show it to him, but for a person who is leaving mustahab, you're not going to keep picking on him and fight with him and lose his companionship and make him hate you for something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not force him or did not oblige him or did not command him to do it. So understand that. And don't understand from my conversation that I'm telling you to ignore people and not to do mustahabbat or permissible things. No, do it, but don't do it in a way that makes you too harsh on the people and make their life miserable. Go gradual, show them the virtue of it, how nice it is, and then inshallah you will get them. Also, work on what? On your intention. Your intention. Why am I here? Why am I studying? Why am I sitting here? Why am I calling this person to Allah? All the time, work on that and make it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, the final thing is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold tight, hold fast to the robe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not differ and do not dispute and do not split or separate from that. All united. Do not die, but when you are in the state of Islam. How do you fulfill that? You continue to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the day of judgment. This is calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making da'wah moderately, where you make people love the religion and want to hear and apply the religion a lot more than seeing it a hindrance in their life. They would see it as a positive thing in their life that they want to keep and they want to apply. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me and make you from those people who hear the good word and apply it. And from those who hear the bad word, stay away from it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help you become great da'iyas, and I'm sure that you will be. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you as long as your intention is there. 50% is not better than 60%. Our goal is 100%. And if you fall short, remember the reward for good intention. A drink for a dog, all of your sins forgiven. A branch removed from the street, all your sins are forgiven. And lock a cat, you go to hell for it. It's a small thing. Some people may not like cats, and they say, well, no big deal. And if you say lock up a dog, oh, poor little thing. Whether it's an animal, whether it's a human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like oppression. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful, and He wants us all to be merciful and to be moderate in everything in our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. If you have any question, we can take a few.